God is interested in us to hear what he has to say. How many know the Bible is written where it's preached, and God wants us to hear it. Then he wants us to do what we hear. How many know that? It doesn't do any good to hear it if we don't do it. See, it doesn't help us one bit. So I was thinking here about hearing and doing. And then over in Revelation, I've done said this a time or two, and I like to remind people that he's dealing with seven churches in the book of Revelation. All seven of these churches, he gave them correction. And he gave them praise for the things that they had heard and done. But then the others he gave correction to. Every one of them he gave some correction, because he told every one of them, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches." He that hath an ear. So God has given us a spiritual ear. He's given us a natural ear, and he's given us a spiritual ear. We can hear with our heart. How many knows that? When our heart speaks to us, it's in the Bible that our heart speaks to us. And when he speaks to us, it's a still, small voice. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. So that this ear that he's given us. And Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 has much to say about that. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 said, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, listen to what he said, therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And when the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and it beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." How many got that? "And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." I want you to notice, whoever hears, they're both heard. "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and what doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man that built his house upon a rock. And now notice, they got the same weather, they got the same rain, the wind blowed on the same house, it blew upon that house, and that one fell because it wasn't founded upon the rock. And it was only because they were hearing, but they were not doing. "But whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man that built his house upon a rock." Now, there's a lot of things that Jesus had to say to us. And his sayings and the apostles' preaching and all that, these things are things that God wants us to hear. And he wants us to do. And she sang that song, "What's the matter with God's people?" I'll tell you what's the matter with them. They don't hear. Now, faith cometh by hearing. How many knows that? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if we don't go to church, we're not going to hear what the Word of God said, are we? So people today have become slack in going to church, the attendance in the church. And the Bible said that we are to assemble ourselves together, and even the more so when we see the day approaching. Now, you're a good bunch to preach that, because well, you've been assembling yourselves together. Now, what you're going to do, you've heard that, so you take that out to someone else and say, God wants us to assemble together. God wants us to come to church. Somebody invited this lady here tonight, and she's here. See, we have to tell them that there's church down here someplace or other, and if they hear that, they will come. You'll receive a certain amount of people. So hearing it and doing is two different things. So then we have to do what we hear. And that puts our house upon that solid rock. And the wind that blew and the wind that destroyed this other house that heard and didn't do, the same wind hit this house, but it stood. The reason that it stood, because it was founded upon that rock. See, God wants us to have a foundation. How many knows if you've got a foundation, you've got to have, I found out that the cornerstone, which is Christ, that lines the house up. It gets it in line. Now, did you ever see somebody build something that didn't take time to use the same pattern of rafters? It didn't take time to put a good foundation under it. And after a while, it was all warped and about to fall down. But you see, God wants us to have this firm foundation. These are the things that really gets in my heart to deliver to people, that they must hear the Word of God. They must do the Word of God. And the Bible tells us to assemble ourselves together. Turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. That's where I want to go. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. And the Spirit speaks. How many knows the Spirit speaks? Did you ever just let God talk to your mind? How many knows there's something that instructs our mind? Something that instructs our mind. Somebody said, I don't know what it is. You can't see it. Well, I want to ask you, if you hold your cell phone up tonight, and how many can see the waves that comes into that telephone, and maybe, well, you know, you speak to people thousands of miles away, and instantly you got a hold of them, there's something that carries that through the air. And did you know there's something carries different things, voices that touches our mind and touches our heart that we hear, but we don't pay attention to them. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. So our spiritual ear should be open where we can hear what God has to say. But it says there in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, the Spirit speaking. The Spirit speaking expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I'm going to tell you something, church. That time is here right now. There's people have departed from the faith. You know why? For not hearing the Word of God. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has said. Notice what Paul says here, that the Spirit speaketh expressly. It's the Spirit that's talking. And the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from what? The faith. All right, if they depart from the faith, you see, faith is what it's all about. Faith in God will move the mountains, as we sing. Faith in God is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, John said. And all in all, it's about victory and faith and how that we should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And I don't think we've got the faith that was once delivered to the saints. I read where Paul and Peter and James and John and the early church done great and mighty miracles, and they kept the faith. They kept the faith. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not for me only, but for all them that love his appearing. Paul said, I have kept the faith. You know, when we leave this old world, it's going to be a wonderful thing to know that we kept the faith. He said, I've kept the faith. He said, I've won the battle. I've won the fight. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not for me only, but for all them that love his appearing. I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9 and read down here a little bit in this. And it says, but as it is written, I have not seen, ear has not heard, neither hath it entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You know, I've been studying lately. I see a lot of people, I really believe they love the Lord. But you know, I've seen something that I never seen before lately in a lot of people. They love the Lord, but they don't trust the Lord. Huh? You'd think that if you love somebody, you'd trust them, wouldn't you? But they don't trust the Lord. They'll say, I love the Lord, and I believe they do. But are we loving the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, as the Bible said? But trust is a different thing. Proverbs chapter 4 tells us, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to thine own understanding. We've got to trust God with all of our heart, with everything. And when you take your money down at the bank and deposit, you're trusting that bank to take care of that money. Ain't you? There's a lot of things there that we're going to have to get some trust in. Our trust has got to be renewed. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. Now here we find, here's what he's saying here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither hath it entered in the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now I'll tell you, God has got a great big bundle prepared for his people that love him. And if we love him, we'll keep his commandments, he said, and his commandments are not grievous. It's not hard to live for God if we love him and if we trust him. When we come up against a problem, we put it in his hands. I don't know about you, but every week or so, I come up against something. Somebody comes to me with some kind of problem, and I have to lean on the Lord. I'm not going to tell them what I think. I'm going to tell them what the Bible says. I'm going to tell them what the Spirit says. I'm going to tell them what the Word says. I'm not going to tell them what I think, because maybe I might be thinking wrong. Philippians 2 and 5 said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And if we've got his mind, we'll be able to tell them what they need to hear from God and not what I think. What do you think, brother? I hear him say. What difference does it make what I think? What difference does it matter what you think? It's what thus saith the Lord. It says what he thinks. And if we've got the mind of the Lord, we can pick up on it. You read that in Philippians 2 and 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And when that mind is on the inside of us, it begins to talk to us because we have his mind. Huh? I used to try this, and people told me you could. We'd travel sometimes in buses and trains and different things like that. And somebody said, if you just watch, you just stare at somebody in the back of their head, and after a while, they'll turn around. Did you ever try that? I've seen it happen lots and lots of times. You see, there's something about that person that picks up their somebody looking me over, see? He tried sometimes. It might not work every time, but it works, you know. They just turn around and look you right in the eye. See, because we're staring at them. There's something there. What it says here, eye has not seen or ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. He's got a bundle prepared for you tonight. He's got a bundle prepared for me. But the devil's got some problems out there. He wants to hand you that. So you got to choose which one you're going to take. Are you going to choose a good, or are you going to choose evil? So that's the story right there. That's the plan right there, that we choose good. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 said, how God anointed now, Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing what? If you're anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, you're not going to do evil, you're going to do good. And that will keep us in line. The Holy Ghost will keep us in line. The Spirit of God will keep us in line. So let's have the ear to hear. Let's go down to verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us. Now, eyes not seen, ears not heard, neither hath it entered in the heart of what God has prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them to us. We already explained who us is. Those that have obtained like precious faith with them, Peter said. Unto them that have obtained like precious faith with us, and it's all over the Bible when you really look for it, then he's revealed them to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. We may got that again. Let's read that again. But God hath revealed them to us. Now, eye hasn't seen it, ear maybe not heard it, neither hath it entered in the heart of man, but God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now the Spirit reveals to us what we need to know. Now, verse 12 says, now we, that's the same as us, it's plural, it's a group, now we have received not the spirit of the world. There's a hang up there, isn't it? The spirit of the world, practicing the way the world does things. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. We've not received the spirit of the world. God don't hand us the spirit of the world. But God hands us his Spirit, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. God has given us so many things. If we could just obtain those things, to them that have obtained like precious faith, Peter said, with us. That like precious faith is so wonderful because it's with us. You know, it joins us together. That like precious faith, if we all have the same faith. You see, some folks have got faith in one thing, and some others have got faith in something else. But we'll never get to the promised land unless we have faith in God. Jesus said, have faith in God. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you might be also. Now, have faith in who? We have to have faith in God. We have to trust God. Faith is a portion of trust. In the Old Testament, it doesn't use faith hardly at all, but it uses trust. Abraham trusted God. When he took Isaac upon the mountain and the sacrificial offering there and put the wood on this altar and all this thing and then tied Isaac on there and drew back the knife, he had trust in God. He didn't only believe in God, he had trust in God. He had so much trust in God that if he'd have put that knife in Isaac, he believed that God would raise him back up again. He really had trust in God. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are given us of God. We speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. We have received not the spirit of the world. So this is which things we speak, not as the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. How many knows the Holy Ghost is a teacher? When he is come, he'll reprove the world of sin, of righteousness and judgment, the Holy Ghost. You know, we need to get in a little bit deeper in the Holy Ghost, you know, and just exactly what it is. It's the third person of the triune Godhead. You know, Jesus ascended on high, sat down at the right hand of the Father, and he prayed the Father that the Father would send what? That he would send the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. And you know, when the Holy Ghost comes into our hearts and our lives, it begins to lead, it begins to guide, it begins to teach us. Remember, night before last, I was preaching on Paul when he had this vision of the man from Macedonia. And this man, it was a vision now. It wasn't the real man. And this man said, come over to Macedonia and help us. You know what Paul done? He went over to Macedonia. And another time I find in some of Paul's writings, he said, people were telling him, and it was prophesied everywhere he went, it said bondage would wait him when he got into Jerusalem. If you go to Jerusalem, bondage awaits you. You're going to have bondage. But Paul didn't pay any attention to that. To Jerusalem he went anyway. You know, God's people should never fear when God is in the thing. Now the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. But you know, our ways is foolishness unto God. Did you know what I'm doing tonight's foolishness? He chose such foolishness as preaching to confound those folks that, you know, that thinks they're wise, but preaching is called foolishness. Huh? But God chose that to get the wise folks saved. And the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he might instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I like that, don't you? But we have the mind of Christ. How did we get the mind of Christ? He put that on the inside of us spiritually. We have the mind. And it says we have to let that. Philippians 2 and 5 again says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. We have to allow this. It doesn't just come and jump on us and overtake us. We have to allow that. And then, you see, when we meditate, that's why I like Psalms 1 so well. Psalms 1 verse 1 said, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or standeth in the way of the sinner, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law of the Lord doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. They'll be like a tree doing what? Planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth the fruit in the season. Who is that? Blessed is that man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the way of the sinner, or sits in the seat of the scorn. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law of the Lord doth he what? Let's all say it. Meditate how much? Day and night. He's on the job for God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He'll get up at midnight, meditate upon the Lord. Sometimes God gets me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Seems like that's his time for me. When he wants to speak something special to me, I wish he'd change that off, but it's always at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I have to get up and pray and meditate for about 2 hours before he gets done with me. And I guess he thinks I enjoy getting up at 3 o'clock, but I don't, but I'm going to do it because he said so. And we always hear from. We hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. When God begins to tug on your heart, when God begins to talk to your mind, hear what the Spirit has to say. Do what God says to do, and it will really be a profitable thing to us. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Verse 16. But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Now there's something about it. The Holy Ghost that illuminates our mind. This scripture, I just touched on it the other night. St. John 7:38. Jesus speaking. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers. Let's say rivers. Of living what? Wonder what might those things be, those rivers. How about a river of life? If we believe on him, as the scripture said, and it's Christ that's pouring this out upon us, one of those rivers is going to be a river of life. But there's plural here. Rivers. How about a river of joy? We've always sang it in church when we was kids, at least. I've got joy like a river. A river is trickling, it's flowing, it's something that's beautiful. I love to go down and sit down by the river and listen to the water flow by, trickling on. Rivers. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, what's he talking about? He said, this spake he of the Spirit, that they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. See, the Holy Ghost then was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. How did we happen to get a glorified Jesus, a leader? Didn't we say last night that Hebrews chapter 1 said he's the express image of the person of the Father, the brightness of his glory, the express image. In other words, he's like him. Then we're to look in the glass, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Then we all are changed into his image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So if Jesus is the glory of, has on the image of the glory of the Father and the express image of his person, and then we have no veil upon our face and we come into there and we become more like Jesus, how many knows that actually what we're doing, we're handing down the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost in us. And it's called the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is not meat and drink, Romans 14:17, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in what? How many knows what it says? In the what? The Holy Ghost. There it is again. The kingdom of God. It's not meat and drink. It's righteousness. It's peace. It's joy in the Holy Ghost. Where can you get a better deal like that? To say this is the Holy Ghost. And inside of that is righteousness, which it has to be in him, and peace, and joy. Why? Because his righteousness is his peace, and it's his joy, and it's in the Holy Ghost. Now, if I was God, and I handed you that package, and you had it on the inside of you, what would you have on the inside of you? Huh? Righteousness, peace, and joy in what? In the Holy Ghost. Well, this comes out in rivers. It's planted in here, but it comes out in rivers. John 7:38 goes again, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly is going to flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, that they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. What prices were paid for the word Holy Ghost and Jesus Christ? And the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, and it says there in John 7:38, how many is to that? He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly is going to flow what rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, that they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet what? It wasn't yet given. Why wasn't it yet given? Because Jesus was not yet glorified. Well, what in the world caused this all to happen, that Jesus be glorified? Let me just bring you to a few things. The first action towards the Holy Ghost coming down was a virgin birth. You know, a lot of folks don't believe that anymore. A virgin birth. They don't believe that Mary conceived of the Holy Ghost and Jesus was born. They don't believe that. A lot of folks, they've wiggled around that some way or other. But that's the first thing. It couldn't be any other way, because that's what the Bible said. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and shall thou shalt call his name Jesus. Well, what's the next thing? Is the first thing is his birth. The next thing is his childhood and upbringing. He escaped the sword of Herod, which was at that time killing all the babies. And it kind of looks like people are following the same thing today, killing all the babies. Who knows what kind of a baby they might kill. They might kill one that would turn out to be a great man of God. They killed all the babies. They done it in Pharaoh's time. Moses escaped because she was hid in the bulrushes in a little basket-like thing, you know. And his own mother got the privilege of raising him because she was working for Pharaoh's daughter. And his mother got to take care of him. So there's another childhood upbringing. In Luke chapter 2, verse 46, when they went to Jerusalem, and then they wasn't paying too much attention to where Jesus was, you know. And when they got out of there, they looked around, and where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? Well, we don't know where he's at. Huh? You know, that's kind of the way we are today. You know, when we fool around, don't get things quite like they ought to be, and then we say, where's Jesus? Where you at, Lord? Where's Jesus? But you see, Jesus was a 12-year-old at that time. So they began to hunt for him. And guess where they found him? They found him about the Father's business. He was in there talking and instructing the lawyers and the doctors. Can you believe that? But that's one part of the Holy Ghost going to come down. We're going to get to bring this to you just in a minute. So the Holy Ghost hadn't been given yet. Jesus was a 12-year-old boy. He finally grew up. So there was some things that happened then later there. His death, but first the beating. By his stripes we are what? By his stripes we are healed. The beating, the bruise. He was bruised for our iniquities. By his stripes we're healed. Those stripes that was across his back, the cuts that's in his back, brought forth our healing. Well, the death, and then the burial. He had to be buried. They buried him in a tomb. 43 years ago, I got to go to Israel, and I got to sit down in that tomb right where Jesus lay. Yeah? I preached some messages recently on emptiness in the church, emptiness in our heart, emptiness in our mind, and all that. But you see, that tomb was empty, and that's the only thing that I've ever seen that I really enjoyed being empty. Because I got to sit right there, and it was empty, only me in there. Wonderful experience with God. Had a time set there, bald and squalled like a baby. Amen. Jesus had laid there. Well, the burial, and then it didn't stop with the burial. Guess what? There had to be a resurrection. I may get it all in. Look here. First, a virgin birth. Second, the child's upbringing, his parents. Amen. They cared for him. Next was his death and his burial. Then there was a resurrection. He was resurrected. They run to the tomb that morning. He's not here. Well, he's resurrected. Well, they didn't stop there. There had to be an ascension. resurrected. Now he's going to be ascended. He's going to be ascending into the heaven. The ascension. And the reason he was ascending was because he needed to set some more. He needed to sit in his place at the Father's right hand. He's seated there tonight. How many knows he's seated at the Father's right hand? See, he is our contact, the way we get to the Father. He said, no man could come to the Father but by me. Now, when we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. That puts us in contact. He's up there. He's sitting at the Father's right hand. So he sat down at the Father's right hand. You know what he said? He said, I'm going to do. I'm going to pray in the Father, and the Father's going to send you another Comforter. He projected it as the Holy Ghost. Now look at all the things that Jesus had to go through to bring something upon us like we have today. I know that God can heal us. God can save our soul. God can fill us with the Holy Ghost. God's arm is not shortened that he can't reach out with our prayer and touch. Listen to it. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He prayed to the Father, and the Father sent another Comforter. And there was an outpour at the day of Pentecost that confused everybody that was there that day until they got themselves right with God. It Pentecosted that day. Let's just turn there just a minute. So here we find that this death, burial, resurrection, ascension, seated at the right hand of God. He prays unto the Father, and the Father sent the Holy Ghost. And now we have a movement. Acts 1 and 8 said, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. So that makes us witnesses. And we got power after the Holy Ghost comes upon us. But it all comes in this sequence of actions there in Christ, in this earth, and ascension on high. By his stripes you're what? By his blood you're what? Saved. By his Spirit you can be filled with his Spirit. And you have power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. You'll be witnesses. It doesn't make any excuses for anyone else, but you'll be witnesses. So I want to turn our Bibles here just a little bit here to Acts chapter 1 and a little bit on Acts chapter 2. And it says in verse 7, Jesus is talking to them before his ascension. And he said, and in verse 7 said, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons, but the Father hath put in his own power. And you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. Now you're going to receive power when? When the Holy Ghost comes upon you. What are you going to be then? Witnesses. How many knows God's looking for some witnesses? He's looking for some witnesses in Donovan, Missouri. He's looking for some witnesses in Canonsburg, Pennsylvania. He's looking for some witnesses up in Pittsburgh. He's looking for witnesses. God wants witnesses. He's willing to talk to us, but we've got to be witnesses. What are we going to witness? We've got to have an experience to witness. Luke 16:16, as I said before, the law and the prophets, word of John, since that time the kingdom of God is preached and every man presseth into it. Luke 16:16. The law and the prophets. What was before Jesus? Jesus in the 17th chapter of the book of St. Matthew took Peter, James, and John, went up on the mountain. And he had a conference there, and they saw him, and they saw him glorified with all that brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. He was talking with Moses and Elias. Moses and Elias. Jesus was. Peter, James, and John, they're looking all this over. Looking to see what is going on. And Peter, after a while, said, law, it's good to be here. And he got himself tied up in. You know, Peter had a hard time getting straightened out. But when he did, what a powerful preacher he was. He'd get mad and curse a little bit at a fire, you know, or something like that. But he got rid of all that. When he got filled with the Holy Ghost, he didn't do that no more. That's the change. That's it right there. When we get full of God, but we don't do that anymore. We control ourselves, Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1 and
verse 5. It had to be faith, virtue, and virtue, knowledge, the knowledge, temperance, the temperance, patience, and the patience, godliness, and the godliness, brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness, charity. And if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. I don't want to be blind to you. He cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Now here we are. We're on this mountain. Jesus is transfigured before them. He's talking to Moses and Elias. Peter gets all excited. And you know what he said? He said, Lord, it's good to be here. He said, let's build three tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elias. But the voice in the cloud said, this is my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. And then he looked again, and Jesus was the only one there. Moses was gone. Elias was gone. And that brought the scripture, Luke 16 and 16 together, the law and the prophets. Moses represented the law, and Elijah represented the prophets, and the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, what happened? The kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Since that time, Moses represented the law, and they disappeared, him and Elias. Jesus, sir, God said, this is my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Huh? Guess what? Hebrews 13 and 8 tells us something, and this is one scripture you can count on. Hebrews 13 and 8 said, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. You know, your friends may change and turn against you. Your children may not behave properly. The governments may go wrong and all those kind of things, and we have a whole lot of things to complain about. I realize that, but I want to tell you one thing. Who's going to complain about Jesus? He paid all the price for us. Everything has been paid. But that one time, in John 7:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. He was anointed. We went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Now, I want to explain something to you, and maybe you all know it. I don't know. It looks like some of you have probably been in church as long as I have. The only thing that will make the word effective is the anointing. I may know that. My flesh will never perfect the word of God. My tongue will never perfect the word of God. Only that anointing. And God does not anoint me. He anoints Jesus in me. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Fact of the matter is, somebody's asked me how many scriptures you can quote. I don't even like to hear that. I don't know. And I know one thing, I can't quote them near as good unless I'm anointed. When I get anointed, then I can quote more scriptures. Because what? The Holy Ghost anoints the Word.